Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to be in front of you here today to talk about certainly an important issue. And I served on Disability Committee the last 2 years, and I applaud all of your efforts. This is a very valuable committee, doing a lot of good work for our state and for many of the citizens that we support. The legislation that I'm bringing in front of you today was heard last year in Judiciary Committee and passed through unanimously, and then was heard on the House floor and was passed through overwhelmingly, and did not have time to get through the Senate. So we're bringing it back this year with the help of this committee, and it has to do with adoptions and adoptees. And imagine yourself as an adoptee going to the doctor, and the doctor saying, "We would like for you to fill out this medical form so we know what your history is." And as an adoptee, you have no idea, because you have no record from your birth parents. You have no clue as to what might be going on in family history and so forth. So this bill is intended to do a few things. One is to provide an avenue, a form, a formal document for medical history, so that birth parents can provide this information. They can opt in and provide this information without providing their names, so there would still be a level of privacy associated with this. But it would allow them, the birth parents, to provide medical history for themselves and for members of their family. This information would ultimately be kept with the registrar through vital statistics with the birth certificate, so that at such time that an adoptee would want this information, they could get it in the help of possibly even preventing disease, diagnosing, seeing what family histories there are, and help with the overall health of that individual. So that's one piece of this. Another piece is to provide an opportunity, again, for the birth parents at any time, and they can do this at any time on the medical history form as well, but at any time provide a preference contact form. So let us say that as a birth parent, they decide at the time of birth that they do not want to be contacted, they do not want the child to know who they are. They could at a later date change their mind. Then they could complete this form, or they could do it at the time of birth, and again, keep that with the birth record so that at such point in time as they feel it would be appropriate, the adoptee could obtain that information. So those are two of the key provisions that are in the original bill. Another provision, though, that was added and is now part of the House Committee substitute has to deal with venue for adoptions. And it is unfortunate that a situation like this is occurring in our state. But we do have, and this is from the Speaker's office, Speaker Jones has asked that this language be included, and therefore we have this in the House Committee substitute. He was approached by a bipartisan group of judges expressing concern about the welfare of children in a particular county in the state of Missouri. And in this county, an individual does not need to live there, the birth parent does not need to live there, the child doesn't need to be born there, nothing has to happen there, except for if you want to adopt a child, you can go there, and a person who wants to give up a child can go there. And so what is happening is that in this particular venue, we have a bit of an adoption, a concern about the adoptions that are done there because it's not vetted, the process is not through due diligence. And so not only do we have potential adoptive parents and so forth going to attorneys and to a judge in this county to adopt, but we have these individual or citizens or people coming from across the United States coming to this one county to get a quick adoption. And there's a lot of concern about that as far as due process as well as for the care of the child and to what degree they might be getting into a home that may or may not be suitable. So that's what the House Committee substitute does. So that is the Reader's Digest version of what's going on. I will say to the committee that I am having conversations with other groups as well regarding a little bit of the process of the paperwork and how that might flow and ultimately end up at the registrar. But those are some of the technical or tactical kinds of things that we'll be working on a little bit later. But as far as the bill itself, this is what I'm presenting to you today.
Are there there any questions for the sponsor? Representative Newman.
To inquire, Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon, Representative.
I'm just looking real quickly. I appreciate that there is a concern about this venue situation. Can you tell me, and I'm looking real quickly through the bill here, is this change actually apply then to every county, or is it kind of fixing what needs to be fixed in certain counties, or, I mean, how is that approached?
Okay. What this does, it's in section 453.010, and there are already certain provisions there, and four provisions, and I believe it's on page four.
This is in the substitute?
Four of the substitute.
This is in the substitute?
Yes. This is the provision that was actually incorporated into the substitute. It's on page four at the bottom. And if you will note, the provisions that already exist are listed 1, 2, and 3, 3 and 4. The change is that in number 3, it has that instead that the child is located at the time of, that there would be a residency of 90 days for the child. Now, on these provisions, it is any of these provisions. It is not all of the provisions. So it adds a level of security to that. Yes.
I just wanted to clarify that was the change in terms of actually a child having to reside in the county for a period of time.
Yes, and I appreciate you clarifying that. That particular language, too, was presented through a number of venues last year as an amendment. So we've seen this before, for those of you who have been here.
Well, thank you, and I think that we can all understand why that is needed in terms of, you know, judiciary concerns.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Inquired. When I was reading this, several things came to my mind. One, we live in a world today where in vitro fertilization and donated eggs and donated sperm in surrogates and all are there. May be reasonable to include those kind of things in our terminology as to how all of that's provided.
In regards to the preference contact form, or what?
Well, if we're trying to get to obtain this medical history, that information, because that's sometimes put off to the side.
Okay.
Is that?
I will definitely look into that.
Okay.
I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
Other questions for the sponsor? Okay, none. Do you have any witnesses testifying today?
I do, sir. If you would, please.
And just a reminder again that all witnesses do need to have a witness form.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and representatives. My name is Jeff Quibel. I'm Mayor Pro Tem of Blue Springs, Missouri, Second Ceremonial Master of Ararat Shrine Center. I don't know if you're familiar with the Shriners, but we're involved in children's hospitals all over the continent. But I'm here today representing myself as a Missouri adoptee. If you have an opportunity to look at this year's February's Reader's Digest on page 127, you'll see a story titled Love on a Tree. It's the story of a young lady in 1958 who came to Kansas City from Detroit to give birth to a child and give them up for adoption. She cared for the baby for 10 days and then was sent home to Detroit and told, "Forget you ever had this child, you will never see them again." 44 years later, she was found by her son, myself, and she presented to me a box full of Christmas ornaments, a Christmas ornament that she had purchased each year for 44 years until I found her. Over the last 9 years, Ann Padmas, this lady, came here and has testified to various committees at the House of Representatives trying to help expand access to information, both for medical reasons as well as simply so that families can be reunited like we were. We were able to be reunited because all four of my parents were still alive. And as we make these, and I want to, particularly to you lady representatives, you know that nobody could ever go home from giving birth to a child and forget about them for the rest of their lives. And so we in Missouri deny access to adult adoptees and their families to get to know each other and meet each other. And I stand here today in support of this legislation, even though I wouldn't call it perfect by any stretch, but it's another step towards improving that process. This legislation, there are two aspects of it I want to bring to your attention. One is that it improves the situation about what happens when someone dies. In the case of my birth mother, she passed away 3 weeks ago. This legislation makes it possible after her death for somebody in the same situation as me to still be able to receive their identifying information and their medical information. And I think it's important as you look at legislation like this that you recognize the fact that Missouri adoptees need to be able to have access to that information. The other piece of this bill that I think is important for you to consider is what I refer to as centralization of records. After adoptions are completed, the forms that this legislation talks to need to be in a common location so that when searching, they're easy to find. And so I'm supportive of this legislation because it allows, it requires that the medical forms and the consent forms be stored with the original birth certificate with the registrar. And so I stand in support of this for those reasons and appreciate your consideration on this bill.
Are there any questions for the witness? You said this bill's not perfect. What, coming from your background, what would you see could be changed to make this a much better bill?
Most of us in the adoption community believe that the records should be fully open. There are a number of states in the United States that provide that. We see no evidence of any negativity as a result of that, although the state of Missouri, there's a lot of discussion about that as well. And so as we've worked on these various bills over the years, we're looking at stepwise improvement to our laws to open access. In 2002, when I searched, all four parents had to be living. And the issue is sometimes directed towards the adoption records themselves and the original birth certificate. I would advocate for equal treatment of both types of information and for that information to be totally open. With that said, recognizing that there are privacy issues that have to be resolved on these things, it's the reason I've come forward for this type of a change. Does that answer your question?
With the states that have this transparency, what states have, what kind of what you're talking about, that kind of database?
The one that comes to mind immediately is Maine. I believe Kansas also has open records. Could be wrong about this, but I think Oregon also is one of the states that has open access for these records.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Are there other questions, Representative Meredith?
That all four parents have to be alive in order for you to do this background information?
At the time that I did my search, that was true. We have seen changes in that over the last 10 years.
Because now we have single people adopting. They're not going to have four. I mean, you know.
Correct.
Just want to make sure I had that. So now it's changed. Do you know how?
I believe it was Senate Bill 351 2 years ago. Made that requirement relative directly to the birth parents rather than the birth and adoptive parents.
The birth parents only,
then. That is correct.
Any questions for this witness? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to testify in favor?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tyler McClay with the Missouri Catholic Conference, here to testify in favor of House Committee substitute for
252.
House Bill 252. Just as a little bit of background, 2 years ago, Missouri revised their records law. And there was a provision in the law before that required the parents who adopt the child to give consent for the child to go searching for their birth parents. And that law was revised so that that's no longer required. So you had situations where you had 55-year-old adoptees who had to go to the nursing home and get consent from their, you know, adoptive parents to go looking for their birth mom, and that was, we felt, outdated. We changed that law. So 2 years ago, the laws were changed to make it more accessible for people to access their birth records and their, you know, their adoption records. What this bill does is it addresses specifically the birth certificate, and it would set up a system where, going forward, a child put up for adoption would have the right to get the birth certificate when they turn 18, unless at the time of the adoption, the parents say, we want to maintain confidentiality. Now, if they do that and maintain confidentiality, then when the child turns 18, he can search, or she can search, for the parents and try to get their consent to release the birth certificate. And if they say yes, then he can get the birth certificate. So it's a way, and as I understand it, more and more adoptions going forward in today are more open, and there's not as much secrecy as there was in the past and that kind of thing. And so as we go forward, I think what we'll see, and statistically hopefully this will bear out, that very few people are filing these, you know, I don't want to have contact kind of forms. But it's a way, it's a step forward. It's a way to move the bill, you know, to move this area of the law forward. Again, it may not be perfect in terms of opening the records completely, but it's a step forward. And hopefully as we go forward, the data will show that not very many people are taking advantage of this, and then we can look at changing the law again. And I appreciate the comment from Dr. Neely, the concern about technology and our reproductive technology, because those are issues I think we're going to need to address. I think that gets pretty sticky because you've got all kinds of different issues there that you have to work through. I'm not sure it's something that lends itself to a quick amendment. Let's, you know, let me put it that way. But certainly it's something that I think we need to look at going forward.
Very fair.
Other questions for this witness? Say none. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you,
Thanks.
Sir.
Is there anyone else here to testify in favor of House Bill 252?
Hello, my name is Connie Hall. I am from Ozark, Missouri, and I am here to testify in favor of this bill with some caveats. I do have some issues with some of the language. First of all, in section 211.444, where the change was made to allow children's division to terminate parental rights, I believe that that's something that is extremely serious, and that all parties involved, including the child, the person, the people who are adopting, and the people who are losing those rights, that should go before the court system, and they should have legal representation. Also, as an adoptee myself, well, let me tell you a little about myself. I'm 39 years old, and 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was adopted when I was 6 days old in Arkansas, which is a closed record state that's even tighter closed than Missouri. I have not been able to get any information whatsoever in regards to my adoption, other than a copy of my final adoption decree, without going to court and getting a court order. There are many states that have open records. More and more states are opening their records, and they are opening them with very little problems. There are already laws in place that if someone is harassing you, contacting you, and you don't want to be contacted, you have legal recourse against them. There's no reason that, as an adult, that the person who was adopted, the person who had absolutely no rights and no say in their adoption, should have any less rights as an adult. That birth certificate does not belong to my birth parents or my adopted parents. That birth certificate belongs to me. It is about me. And I don't believe that I, as an adult, should have anyone else who can say that I do not have access to that.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for this witness? Actually, I have a question.
Okay.
Sponsor, are you mm-hmm. concerned that she brought up about the children's division? Why is that included in the legislation?
Mr. Chair, I have not had previous notice of her concerns, so I've not had an opportunity to look at that. But I will definitely do that, and as we proceed with this legislation, I'll have a response for you.
Any other questions? Thank you so much for that. Is there anyone else to testify in favor of the House Bill 252? Seeing none, is there anyone here to testify in opposition to House Bill 252? Seeing none, is there anyone here to testify for informational purposes only?
Thank you for this opportunity to come before you. I'm a birth mother, and a lot of things happen between the age of 19 and 55 for a person. And so over the years, I've had to keep a very healthy attitude about my decision to give my daughter up for adoption. But I know through the years, I have been quite concerned about some of the health issues that have come up in my family. And I just recently lost my brother, 49, to a brain aneurysm. He just died in October. And as it is, he's the fourth male in our family through different first cousins, if you will, and even my father all suffered from this. My father survived his, but the other men died. And not to mention a number of other issues that are health-related that I know that she should have some information about. Fortunately, there were some changes in the law that where there was absolutely no idea of how she was doing. Due to some changes, I was able to get some non-identifying information from the Department of Social Services and Family Services out of Clayton County. The birth parents have absolutely, we have no rights. And obviously we made the decision, and it is a life sentence. But oftentimes the children, the adoptees, one, if they have a good home, which I suspect she did, even if they want to know who they belong to, and my daughter was actually adopted by a biracial family, a couple. The father was in the service, went to a place, I forget. But anyway, he met his wife overseas, and they came back to St. Louis. So my daughter knows that she is adopted. Oftentimes, so they want to know who their natural parents are, but they feel, obligated to their parents if they've had a good life and what have you, and they don't want to disrupt that. And it would be nice to make that a little easier for them to access those records. Now, I was able to sign a consent form and put it on record there at the courthouse if she should ever want to go and inquire. I don't know that adoptees know that they can do that and not necessarily have to have the permission of their adoptive parents. But oftentimes, all you want is just to know that they are doing well. And I think it's very healthy when they're able to make that connection to their past, whether it's something they want to continue to be connected to or just have some closure. So with that, I thank you very much.
Ma'am, can we get your name?
My name is Annette Driver.
Great. And you complete a witness form?
She has one.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Are there any other questions to testify for informational purposes?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Christine Corcoran. I am here today representing Lutheran Family and Children's Services and the Adoption and Foster Care Coalition, which is a coalition made up of 20 adoption agencies, 20 child placing agencies in the state. And we too worked with Missouri Catholic Conference a couple years ago to make the law better for people who are searching, and we believe that it's a balancing act of birth parents' rights, adoptee and adoptees' rights, and we have to strike that balance. So generally, we are in support of some of the movements with this bill. Our concerns are the contact preference form and the medical form. It actually, by housing that stuff or that information with the state registrar, we're now creating two places within state government that information will be housed. The adoption registry, which has been in existence for many, many years, is housed with social services. And that is where people who are searching for their birth parents or for their children, that's their first place that they stop. And that information is given out to the respective parties. So we would, with this bill, be creating two places where information would be stored. The other concern is the adoption checklist. We are concerned that by requiring the adoption checklist, that it will slow or delay adoptions. It could potentially make vulnerable past adoptions that have been finalized, and it creates a requirement where sensitive information will become part of a court record. And an example of that is sensitive psychological information could become part of a court record that then could become vulnerable to being released or mishandled, or, you know, it just does not belong in a court record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
There be a way to connect those, or because again, I think the purpose of the bill is to provide that information if it's there.
Exactly.
It available. And how would those two agencies then interact, in your opinion?
Well, I am concerned, having worked in state government many years ago, and I'm concerned, just being frank with you, that state departments don't talk unless they are encouraged to talk, you know, through legislation, just frankly. And so I think that would need to be made part of the bill. If you're going to house stuff in two places, there has to be a recognition that information can flow between those two departments. And we have some suggested changes.
Okay, I mean, if it's all right for the bill sponsor too, I'd be really interested in trying to see if go to the social services on your, you know, birth certificate hunting, that you somehow know that other information is available regardless of where it's stored, and vice versa. I don't know if that would be secure.
Excuse me. Representative, that is the topic of discussion, actually. And as I opened, I indicated that there were some questions about the paperwork tracking and so forth. And that's something we're going to be looking at, as to how that can be streamlined or best served. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that there are official documents in place, and then that goes to the centralization of it. At the same time, we want to make sure that it's as accessible as possible. So it is a balancing act, rather than who's on first and who has the paperwork. And we want to make it as streamlined as possible for the adoptee, so that they're not chasing all over the place trying to look for papers. So we'll be working on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
If further witnesses wish to testify for informational purposes, seeing none, Representative Lauer, do you have any closing comments?
I appreciate, first of all of the witnesses who were here for whatever they were speaking for, because this is, it's not a black and white thing, and certainly when you're dealing with process, statutes, emotions, very sensitive kinds of situations, it is a balancing act. So I appreciate all of their time, and also for all of you, because this is something that we do want to see some movement on. We need to get something moving. whether it's what everybody wants or not, that's something we can work at as we're moving forward. But we certainly do not want to forget that adoptees make up a good portion of our citizenry in this state. And sometimes it seems as though they are a forgotten group. And whatever we can do to help that move forward, I would certainly appreciate your support. So I thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.